We begin with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is, We Come to the Hungry Feast. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements. The announcements are found at the end of our bulletins. Those last few pages in the bulletins are the announcements. Again, we do have plenty of bulletins around. They are available in the places of worship here in our sanctuary, also in the fellowship hall on Saturday nights, and also at the entranceway to the educational building. And then, too, you can also find them online at our website, stpaulykt.org. A few things that I would like to highlight on there is, one is that we do have the North American Lutheran Church Convention, the convocation, going on this week. It will be on Friday and Saturday. It is all online this year, so we're trying something new so that we can get the business of the church done. But anyone is welcome to watch and see what's going on, to be a part of the worship services that would happen at a convocation, to the devotions, the Bible studies, the speakers, and then just also the business of the church. So if you are interested in any of the sessions, you are welcome to come to the chapel. We have a large screen TV set up in there. You're welcome to come into the chapel and watch along with your delegates, who are Bill Claverman and Ray Lang and myself, and see what goes on at a convention. And the hours are posted in your bulletin, but I'll give them to you. It's Friday at 5 to 8 p.m., and then on Saturday, 1 to 5 p.m. Okay, Kathy, did you want to make any announcements? Okay, I did want to mention to everybody then that the Faith and Life Committee has changed the date of their movie night. It was supposed to be the 7th, but the convocation got scheduled then, so it will be on August 21st, I think, at this point. Okay. Any other announcements? Anything else that need to be made? If not, then we continue with the greeting in the Kyrie. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Together the prayer of the day. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. Give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
First lesson is a reading from the 55th chapter of Isaiah. I begin reading at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirst, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is 145, and we will read it in unison. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is loving to everyone, and his compassion is over all his works. The Lord upholds those who fail. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him faithfully. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He hears their cry and helps them. The Lord preserves all those who love him, but he destroys all the wicked. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh praise his holy name forever and ever. The second reading is from the 9th chapter of Romans. I begin reading at verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These last few weeks, we've been reading from Matthew's Gospel, and we've been looking at parables. And as we looked at those parables, a lot of times the parables could be interpreted in different ways. There were different truths in those parables. This morning, we don't have parable, but we do have a story. And that story as well, too, can be looked at and seen, and seen different truths within that story, or it can be interpreted in different ways. Our story for today starts out that Jesus had just heard about his cousin, John the Baptist. I'm not sure how close Jesus and John the Baptist were, but they probably were fairly close. I mean, it goes all the way back to the birth stories of both of them. If you remember in the early stories there, that Mary, when she found out that she was pregnant with Jesus, ran to tell Elizabeth, the mother of John, of the joy of and the blessing that she has received. And so, who knows, these kids may have grown up together, Jesus and John the Baptist. You know, they were probably together at family reunions or birthday parties and those kind of things. So I'm not sure how close they were together, but in ministry, they were very close. God had planned it that way, that John would be the forerunner of Jesus to proclaim, "Get ready, get ready, the Messiah is coming." And so in that sense, they actually worked together in helping usher in the kingdom of God into this earth. So I'm sure Jesus was very upset at the loss of John the Baptist, not only on a personal level, but also on a shared ministry level, but even more than that, that this beheading of John the Baptist was kind of an indication of what was going to happen then, eventually, with Jesus. That this is the way that the world treats those who come from God. That Jesus, too, was already starting to make some enemies. And that this, too, may be the same fate that Jesus would be going through. And so Jesus needed time. He needed time alone. He needed a deserted place to be able to pray to God, his Father, and then also just to think all of these events through, but then also to grieve the loss of his cousin. And so Jesus left where he was. He was probably doing ministry there, and he got in the boat with the disciples, and they headed off towards the lake to a spot that they knew that there weren't any towns close by, that there shouldn't be anybody over there. But when people saw that happening, they started running around the lake or along the shoreline. And as they went, you know, people probably stuck their heads out of the windows of their houses or out of their businesses and kind of turned and looked, where are all these people going? And they shouted, "Jesus is going over that way." So as the people went around the lake, more people joined in. And so by the time Jesus and the disciples hit that spot where they were going to be, that deserted area, it wasn't deserted anymore. Matthew here gives a number of 5,000 men besides women and children. So you're looking at 10,000 people, maybe 12,000, maybe 20,000 people there on that shoreline waiting for Jesus, needing Jesus, wanting Jesus. Jesus sees that crowd. He could have easily just had the disciples turn the boat around. "Let's go find somewhere else. This is too busy." But he didn't. He saw them and he had compassion for them. And he spent the day with them, curing their diseases, ministering to them, talking to them, laying on his hands.
maybe welcoming the children, giving hugs. And it was a long day. I know if you've worked around people for a full day, if you've gone to conventions or if you work around people, if you work in a store or somewhere else where there's constantly people, that's almost as exhausting as hard physical labor sometimes. You get exhausted at the end of the day. I'm sure the disciples were there. At this point, the disciples had already been sent out to get ready for Christ, to make the people ready, to preach, to tell the good news, and to heal as well then too. So I'm sure the disciples were working hard that day as well. And they were tired. And the people probably too were fairly tired after being out in the sun all day, being outside with the elements. And so the disciples were getting somewhat concerned. It was getting towards supper time. It was getting late in the day. And so the disciples approach Jesus and say, "Hey, it's time to cut it off here. I don't know about you, but I know when I'm tired and when I'm hungry, I start to get a little grumpy." I think the disciples were worried about this crowd. You get thousands of people who are tired and who are hungry. Who knows what might happen? Jesus, send them away. Let them go home and find their supper. Jesus says, "No, you feed them. You feed them." Disciples are, "What? Feed them? We don't even have enough here for our own group. We don't have enough for even 13 people. All we have is these 5 loaves and 2 fish." And the loaves weren't the big 2-pound HEB sacked up Wonder Bread sliced up white stuff. No, these were more like big biscuits. The loaves were like big biscuits. And the fish weren't some 15-pound catfish, but rather they were small fish like herring that were probably either pickled or dyed. There wasn't a whole lot of substance to the fish. It was more for flavoring than for anything else. So they didn't have much food, but okay, Jesus, here it is. And so Jesus takes it. He blesses it. It was a common practice to say a table prayer, just as we do. We usually have our table prayers that we say, like maybe, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." A lot of times Jesus, or the Jews then, would maybe pull something out of the Psalms, like our Psalm 145 today actually was probably used as maybe a table prayer. "The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord. You give them their food in due season. You open wide your hand and satisfy the needs of every living creature." So Jesus offers up this prayer. He breaks the food up into small pieces, gives it to the disciples, and the disciples start to distribute it. Our story tells us that when everybody was finished eating, the disciples once again collected all the leftovers, much like we do. If we've got leftovers after a meal, we stuff them in a Tupperware container and shove them in the refrigerator. For the disciples, or for the people in that day and time, they would pick up what they didn't eat and put it in their satchel that they normally took with them. So the disciples pick up all the leftovers, and there was more food than they even started with. And the people were full. So what does this story tell us? What is the truth within this story for us to gain? I think there's at least 4 different interpretations or 4 different ways of looking at this story. One way is to take it simply at face value, that Jesus saw a need and he multiplied the fish and the loaves and there was plenty for everybody. Certainly, God the Father, who created the heavens and the earth and the skies and the seas and the animals and the plants, and who created us with all our complexities, certainly could create more bread and more fish, enough to feed a crowd of that size. And it was a miracle, because they were fed. Everyone was filled, it says here in our gospel lesson. So that's one way of looking at this story, that God provides. God provides everything we need, and God is willing to do whatever it takes and can do whatever it takes to provide for our needs. Another way of looking at this story is sacramentally, much like Holy Communion. If you put it in the context of Holy Communion, there are some similarities here. You know, in Holy Communion, we get just a taste. We get the little wafer, or sometimes somebody makes some homemade bread, and you get a pinch of that homemade bread. And you get a taste of the wine, a small cup of wine or the grape juice. Maybe that's what happened here then too. That maybe they just got very small pieces, but it says they were filled. But if we take this sacramentally, if we think about what Holy Communion does, that Holy Communion is not about filling our physical bodies, but it's about filling us spiritually. Because it's in Holy Communion that we hear those words of forgiveness. We are tied to that cross and that resurrection, and we know that we will live. We are strengthened in that meal for a godly life. Our spirits are lifted. We are made clean. And by doing that, we are filled with that word of God. We are filled with that grace and with that mercy. And we walk away from that table, even though we've had just a taste, we walk away from that table being filled. And maybe that's what happened on this day as well then too. That maybe this meal wasn't about physically filling people up, but it was about fulfilling them with that healing of Christ and with that word of Christ. Some of the language here is even very similar to what we use for Holy Communion. Jesus takes that bread and the fish in this case, and he lifts it up and he blesses it. He gives thanks and he gives it to his disciples, saying, "Take." In this case, it's take and give it to the people in Holy Communion. It's take and eat. The intention is the same. The language is even the same. And when we receive Holy Communion, we know that we are forgiven. We know that we are cured. Just as in this story, that's what Jesus did that whole day long, as he cured people of their diseases. That's another way of looking at this. A third way of looking at this is looking at this as more of the messianic feast, of that feast we are to share with God when Christ comes again, of being filled in that capacity, in that way, knowing that we will not be hungry. We will not be hungry spiritually or physically at that feast. Our sins will be forgiven. Our diseases will be cured. We will have no pain. We will have no hurts. We will have no worries. We will be totally and completely healed through Jesus Christ. And we will be celebrating in a feast which has no end. And so that's another way of looking at this story. And one more way of looking at this story, and this goes about maybe a little bit more practical way of looking at it, is that when the crowd saw what was happening, when Jesus asked his disciples, or told his disciples, "You feed them," and the disciples start ruffling through their satchels, their bags or baskets to get all the food they have, and the crowd sees that they don't have a whole lot of food, but yet Jesus is still willing to feed them, that he's willing to give up everything that he has. And the disciples are willing to follow Jesus and give up what they have. And so possibly as the food started coming around, as the disciples started distributing that food, the people saw that as well then too and said, "You know, I never leave the home without taking my lunch with me or taking some food just in case I get stuck somewheres." So it's very possible people had food with them. And they said, "I don't need all the food that I have." And so they, instead of starting to take stuff from the baskets or from the disciples, they actually started putting some of their own food into the baskets. And as the baskets went around, it ended up people had more food there than when Jesus started. And that in itself is a miracle, that Jesus is able to open up the hearts of people, to have a completely different attitude about God and about one another, of being willing to share, of being able to give of yourself and what you have in order that others may be provided for. However this story goes, the people were filled. However you take the interpretation of this story, the people were filled by a miracle of Jesus Christ. That God provides for us. He gives us what we need. Everything on this earth is provided by God. He gives us all of everything of which we need. God also provides for us spiritually. He assures us of our salvation, that we have been forgiven of our sins, and that we will be raised with Christ on the last day and celebrate that feast which has no end. But as we live here on this earth then too, this story teaches us that it is good to share with one another. As Jesus had compassion on that crowd, Jesus went there with a different agenda. But when he saw the crowd, he had compassion. Jesus changed his mind or changed his plans to help those people. The people, as they saw the food being distributed, maybe opened up their hearts and changed their attitudes and their minds and their faith. Christ moves us in ways that we don't always understand. May God bless us as he blessed the people on the shore of Lake Galilee. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the song, "You Have Come Down to the Lake Shore."
us now confess our faith as we say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. You take resources that appear to be meager, bless them, and there is enough. May your church trust that what you bless and ask us to share with the world is abundantly sufficient. Lord, in your mercy. Your bountiful creation offers food and life for all creatures. Protect this abundance for the well-being of all. Replenish groundwater supplies. Provide needed rains in places of drought. And protect us from the storms. Lord, in your mercy. You offer yourself to all the nations and the peoples of the earth, inviting everyone to abundant life. Bring the prophetic vision to fullness that all nations will turn to you, and those who do not know you will find their joy in you, Lord, in your mercy. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Hear the anguish of the tender hearts who cry to you in suffering and satisfy their deepest needs. Bring wholeness and healing to those who suffer in body, heart, soul, and mind. We pray especially for Ann Oddix, Arvid Severs, William Johnson, and the family of Jean Gohmert. Lord, in your mercy. You offer freely the fullness of salvation. Give our congregation such a welcoming heart that our words and actions may extend your free and abundant hospitality to all whom we encounter. Lord, in your mercy. You gather your saints as one, united in the body of Jesus. Bring us with all your saints to the heavenly banquet. We remember with love and thanksgiving the saints we have known. Lord, in your mercy. In the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
thanks
and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, For the Fruit of All Creation. Go in peace, serve the Lord.